Hey, let's remember again tonight, time after time, that Jesus said in the Great Commission, go ye. Okay, and we're talking about the individual responsibility. And in essence, the theme of your conference, making a difference. By the way, we have some of the BIMI magazines on all of the tables out there. I took the liberty to put some on all of them, since all the missionaries this year are with BIMI, so I can kind of take a little bit of liberty, okay? Anyway, our theme this year is moving forward by faith, and that's a good theme. And this year in Mission Conference, we're thinking about the theme that you have chosen, and that is making a difference. Now, I'm going to try to get my watch in the right place so I can quit on time. I told somebody I had an Apple Watch. I don't know why they gave me an Apple Watch. I can tell time by a $9.95 Walmart watch just as well as the Apple Watch. And that's about all I can do with the Apple Watch is tell time, okay? But it don't tell me the time. I laid it up here last night. I tapped it. It didn't say a word, okay? So it's really not very smart, okay? Anyway, I told somebody before the service tonight I need to borrow a watch because if I go too long, I won't be back here next year, okay? So I'm watching my time. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And tonight we're thinking about making a difference through our praying. Making a difference through our praying. Would you like to stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? Matthew chapter 4, and just some great verses here, okay? Look at verse 14. Seeing then we have a great high priest. By the way, we do, amen. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Is that not a great word? Then he said, since that is true, look at it. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Question. Do we live in a day of time of need? Okay. You heard last night about the need of the many people. The Tibetan people in Nepal. It's a great need for them. They've never heard the gospel message. They have a great need. Tonight you heard about the great need of the people in Greenland. And every once in a while you show slides of some tropical island or something and you say, wow, wouldn't me be calling there? But I doubt if many of us, after seeing that snow and ice and 3 months of darkness, sighed and said, wow, I wish I could be called there. But they have a need. And that's the reason they're going. They have a need. So we have great needs tonight. And we have access to a great person, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here at Temple Baptist Church. I thank you for the marvelous way that you have used so many individuals and the church as a whole to get the gospel to many, many places where they had never heard before, villages, islands, areas that have been reached with the gospel message. Thank you for the work teams and the young people that have gone out to hold vacation Bible schools and so forth. And thank you, dear Lord, that they have given literally millions of dollars and many of their families to this great cause of world evangelization. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be a blessing to your people tonight. They've been such a blessing to me, and I'd sure like to be a blessing. But the only way I can do that is that you'd use me. So as best I know how, I present myself to you, dear Lord. And I pray that you'd give me the very words that I need to say and help me to say what I need to say and refrain from saying anything that I shouldn't say. And I'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you one other verse. Turn your Bibles over just a few pages to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and then we'll come back to that passage. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Apostle Peter, he tells the believers what they are. And I may preach on this Sunday night. I'm not sure yet, okay? But I may not, okay? So I'm going to give you part of it tonight anyway, okay? But in chapter 9, he tells us what we are. And look at it. He said, but you are a chosen generation. And here's the word I want us to look at tonight. You are a royal priesthood. Think about that. You are a royal priesthood. And of course, you know that the job of the priest was to approach God for the people they were ministering to. And here he says, you are a royal priesthood. What does that mean? That means you're part of the family. Amen. And that gives you special entrance. I heard a preacher one day, he made a very dumb statement. I've heard a lot of preachers make dumb statements, okay? But this one's the dumbest I've ever heard, okay? But I heard it, he's preaching at a big convention. He wanted to show how important he was. And he said, even my wife and children have to make an appointment to see me. And I thought, you're dumb. Hey, my wife, she never had to make any appointments. And she needed to see me and straighten me out a lot of times. Amen. Thank God she did. And by the way, if some of my children want to talk to me or my grandchildren, or especially my great-grandchildren, hey, they don't have to make an appointment. They have open access to me at any time of the day or night. And here, Peter is saying to the believers, he's saying to you and me, he's saying, you are a royal priesthood. In other words, you can come to the Father at any time, day, night, with any need that you have. It's a prayer. Look what we read over in Hebrews chapter 4. Notice again the encouragement to pray. The encouragement to pray. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Think about it. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Isn't it wonderful? Jesus Christ came in the form of a man. And as a man, he experienced all of the things that we experience. In other words, whatever we may be going through tonight, we can be sure that Jesus understands. And by the way, there are certain things that you just cannot understand if you have not been through them yourself. And many times God allows those kind of things to come into our life so we can be able to help others. So Jesus came to this earth. He was a God incarnated in the flesh, as much man as if he had not been God, as much God as if he had not been man. And the Bible says here that he's not somebody that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And I love this statement. But was in all points tempted like as we are. And yet it said, without sin. Prayer. Praying. Let me give you a few quotes, great quotes about prayer. Hudson Taylor in his book, Spiritual Secrets. And by the way, Every missionary, everybody that's serious about missions ought to read Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secrets. But he said in that, we must learn to move people to God through prayer. Think about that. Sometimes you wonder about certain people, but here he's saying, we need to learn to move people to God through prayer. Another statement. All God's giants were weak men who did great things because they learned, because they realized that they could lean on God through prayer. Again, three stages of every great work. It's impossible, it's difficult, it's done. Amen. I like that. And you can see, you know, great. I think of Temple Baptist Church. Or, amen. This church right here. Okay. And it hadn't always been like this. 30 years ago, it wasn't like this. Okay. Sometimes it looked impossible, Pastor, right? And other times it looked difficult. But thank God it's done. Amen. Now, I don't mean you're through. You're not even halfway there yet. Okay. But I mean, God has done some great things, okay? I like this statement. In the book of Philippians, Paul writes, listen to it, be careful for nothing. In essence, don't worry about anything. By the way, I didn't say that, Paul did, okay? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look at it. In everything. Somebody as well said, if it is too simple to take to God in prayer, it's too simple to bother you. Amen. In other words, God, our Heavenly Father, is interested in everything about our life. In Matthew chapter 6, and if you want to turn your Bible there and look at it, you can for a minute, okay? But I want you to notice something in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to turn my Bible there rather than trust my mind, because my mind is about gone, okay? Matthew chapter 6. Now, I just came upon this the other day, okay? And I know you've seen it already, but I didn't see it till then, okay? Look at verse 6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Okay, look at verse 7. But when you pray, verse 7. Look at verse 8. Therefore, be not like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of. And then he said in verse 7 again, when you pray, but pray ye in verse 8, but be not therefore like unto them, for your Father. Pray ye. Think about it. Jesus, time after time in that chapter, says, when you pray. In other words, it's unbelievable that a man would call himself a child of God and not pray. So Jesus didn't say, if you pray. No, he said, when you pray. And by the way, in Luke chapter 8, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. So let's think some things about prayer tonight. Number one, think about this. Think about, remember the phrase of Jesus, but when you pray. In other words, we all, as children of God, are expected to pray. And by the way, prayer should never be looked upon as a duty. It should be looked upon as an opportunity. Imagine if somebody asked you, who would you like to speak to? If you could have lunch with somebody and talk to them for 15, 20 minutes, who would you rather speak with than anybody? If you're big in sports, you might be some sports figure. If you're big in education, it may be some educator. If you're big in a lot of other things, you may the top of the people in that list. You're big in economic. You might like to have a conversation with Bill Gates. But you think about it. You and I have an opportunity to talk every day to somebody a whole lot more important than the greatest sports figure on the face of the earth, or the greatest economist, or the greatest philosopher. We have access to Almighty God. So here it is, all right. Number one, when you pray, know to whom you are praying. When you pray, know to whom you are praying. The Bible gives many verses that tells us how great our God is. I love Psalms 81:10. Listen to it. Psalms 81:10, God is speaking, okay? Listen to him. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. You know what he's saying? I can do anything. When in the Old Testament, when God wanted to show his power, he would use it. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. That was a big deal. 2.5 million people out of the Egyptian bondage through the Red Sea on dry land. And Pharaoh and his army trying to go through were all drowned. You know what he's saying? I can do anything. And then he said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Hey, you think you've got something tonight that's too big for God? There is nothing on the face of the earth that is too big for God. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. In Jeremiah 33:3, and many of you have memorized this verse, okay? Call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So when you pray, remember that you're praying to Almighty God. He can do anything. Nothing is too difficult for him. When you pray, be sure that you ask for God's will to be done. When you pray, be sure that you ask for God's will to be done. I like the little acronym ACTS. You've heard it, but listen to it again, okay? In other words, prayer. Number one, adoration. One of the best things we can do every day is spend some time just telling God how great he is. And by the way, that's not hard, amen? He is wonderful. He is great. He is almighty. He is full of mercy. You could go on and on and on. But it does us good just to spend some time and just adoring our great God. And then the C is confession. It just might mean that you've done something wrong, okay? And by the way, don't start and say, now, Lord, if I've done anything wrong. No, you have, amen? Go ahead and tell him what you've done, okay? Confession, all right? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And by the way, he said it. I didn't say it, but he said, if we say we have no sin, we what? We lie and the truth is not in us. So keep short counts with God, amen? And you can do that through prayer. When you pray, start with adoration and then confession. And then thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5, in the same place where it says, pray without ceasing, it also says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, rather than just only asking when we come to God, it'd be good just to stop and thank him for some things he's already done. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then there is the adoration, confession, the thanksgiving, and then supplication. Look at it again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. In in James chapter 1, there is a very convicting statement. Listen to it. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you were born poor. No, I wish you said that sometimes, okay? Then I'd have an excuse. You have not because you're not very smart. No, I wish it said that. Again, I'd have an excuse, okay? But he said, you ask not, or you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. And then he went on to say, you ask and you receive not because you ask that you might add it on to your own lust. In other words, you're just selfish in your praying. But when you pray, pray for the will of God. I want to give you one example of a great answered prayer, and I could give you a lot of them tonight, okay? But when it said, you have not because you ask not. We went to Japan in 1965. And in the latter part of 1965, in December, after I'd been there 9 months, I did a very dumb thing. I tried to preach in Japanese. I mean, I wrote it out. I read it over and over. I read it to my teacher. I read it to my wife. I read it to my children. I had a place up in the mountains. I'd go up by a stream. I would read it. I would read it and read it. But on Sunday night, I got into a little meeting place that we had. And there were probably 8 or 10 Japanese there and 2 missionary families, the Whites and the Markhams. And I began to try to read that sermon, and it was the most horrible experience I've ever had in my whole life. I got off my subject. I couldn't see the pages. I made all kind of mistakes. And at the end of the sermon, one of the Christians prayed like this: Dear Lord, we love Brother Sisk, but we didn't understand anything he said. Now, that's funny in 2019, but it was not funny in 1965. And I went home that night, and I wept that night. And by the way, I reminded God again that night: Dear Lord, it wasn't my idea to come to Japan, okay? And the next, that was on Sunday night. And at that time, every Friday morning at 5 o'clock, Brother Ron White and Brother Dave Markham and I always get together for prayer. And on the next Friday morning, I said to Ron and Dave, I said, fellas, I want you to pray that God will give me a good Bible-believing fundamental interpreter. And they started laughing. They thought I was joking, you know. And I said, no, it's not a joke. I believe God wants me to start a church. And the only way I can start a church right now is that I will need a good interpreter. And and I think Ronald Day one said, Brother Sis, there's probably not anybody like that in Japan. And 3 weeks after that, I went to a Christmas party. Brother Vern Chandler had different missionaries and pastors come in. We had a little Christmas party. And I sat next to a fella. And lo and behold, he was Japanese, and he began to speak to me in English. And I said, how did you learn English? Well, I went to a school in Pennsylvania, and I went 4 years there. And he spoke nearly perfect English, and of course, he was Japanese. And then he said, even before I went to America, I'd get on a train. I'd get me a pass, and I'd go on a train from Osaka to Kobe, and I'd find a foreigner to talk to, and I'd practice my English, and then I'd go back to Osaka and kept going, practice. And he spoke nearly perfect English. And I said, well, what are you doing in Japan? He said, I'm going to be here till next June. Then I'm going back to seminary. And then he said, till then, I'd like to work with some missionary. And I said, how would you like to come to my house next Monday night? That was on a Friday. And he said, oh, I'd like to do that. And I found out he liked chicken. And so we had some good Kentucky Fried Chicken. Virginia was from Kentucky. Okay. So we had some good Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I don't know if that's the only reason, but he decided he'd work with me. And the rest is history. Okay. We were able to start a church. God did some miraculous things. Unbelievable. We have not because we ask not. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When you pray, that's what Jesus said. When you pray, remember who you're praying for too. When you pray, ask for God's will to be done. When you pray, say what you need. Say what you need. Be specific in your praying. In other words, I've heard people say, "Dear Lord, save all the lost people." Okay, that's not a good prayer, okay? We ought to be specific when we pray. I'm not going to turn to it tonight, but one of the passages I love in the Bible is in Genesis 24, when Eliezer was sent out to get a wife for Isaac. And, you know, he got there and stood there by the well where the women came to draw water. And in essence, he said, "Now, Lord, I don't have any idea who to choose." By the way, that'd be a pretty hard job. You're going to find a wife for somebody else. Amen. It's pretty hard to find a wife for yourself, let alone for somebody else. But, you know, I don't have any idea how to choose. And so he prayed. And by the way, you talking about specific. He says, now, Lord, I don't, you know, I'm supposed to get a wife for Isaac, but I don't know how to go about it. And when a girl comes and draws water, and I say to her, "Would you give me some water?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I'll give you some water." And she puts her pail down and gives him a drink of water. And then she'll say, "And by the way, while you're drinking this water, I will draw water for your camels. 10 camels, 50 gallons apiece." And drawing water in those days didn't mean turning on the faucet. Amen. It meant putting the bucket down in the well and drawing it up. And lo and behold, in just a few minutes, here comes Rebecca. And he said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" "Oh, yes, I'll be glad to give you a drink of water. Hey, by the way, while you're drinking water, I'll draw water for your camels." Wow. And then Eliezer could make this statement: "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Amen. Now, I don't know of any greater joy than praying to God for something that would in our eyes would be impossible, and then watching God do it. When you pray, pray with other people. Get you a prayer partner. By the way, husbands, wives, be each other's prayer partners. Pray together. Pray together. Pray with somebody. A good way to pray too is to pray the Word of God. Memorize scriptures, and when you pray, pray the Word of God. Pray. When you pray, not if you pray. You're a Christian. You're going to pray, so pray. Now let me take just a minute tonight and talk about praying for missionaries, okay? By the way, before I do that, please, every day, would you pray the only prayer request that Jesus asked of you to pray? Do you remember? "And when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion, because they were sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then he gives his only prayer request: "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Would you pray for laborers? I've noticed something. Many times when people begin to pray for laborers, God will say to them, "Okay, you're the one," since you're praying about it. And that's all right. Don't be afraid to do that. If God calls you to the mission field, that'd be the best thing in the world could ever happen to you. But by the way, you might pray that God would send your children to the mission field. You might pray that God would send your grandchildren to the mission field. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. Could I urge you tonight, pray for your missionaries. I've said it many times. If we give missionaries our money and we do not follow them with our prayer, we are doing them a disservice. How should I pray for missionaries? Number one, pray for the entire family. Now, the man's called to missions, okay? And maybe the woman is called. I'm not sure anyway. But, you know, you worry about that where you can or not. I remember when we went before the board at BIMI, they had me tell about my call, and I did. And one of the men said to my wife, Virginia, she said, "Well, Miss Sis, do you feel like you've been called to Japan?" And she was kind of stunned. I don't know if she'd ever been asked that question or not. But she said, "Well, I'm married to Don. He's going to Japan. I'm going with him, okay?" And by the way, she did great. You know her. Okay? I don't have to tell you about her. But pray for the entire family. By the way, the children probably haven't been called to go to Japan or to Iceland or to Tibet, okay? Or wherever, okay? But pray for the entire family. Get their names. Pray for them individually. How to pray for missionaries. Pray for their language study. Brother Gardner's here tonight, okay? He had a wonderful ministry in Japan. And you'll probably remember this, Brother Dan. But I remember one day he called me and he said, "Brother Seth, you didn't tell me how hard the Japanese language was. You didn't tell me how difficult the Japanese language was." I said, "Dan, I think I did. You didn't listen, okay?" By the way, it's hard to tell somebody how difficult it is. Amen, Jay? Pray for their language study. One of the most discouraging time for a missionary could be while he is studying a new language. Pray for their financial needs. Now, most missionaries today leave here with good support. Thank God for that. But then there's always going to be things happening. Pray for their financial needs. Here's a biggie, okay? Pray for their relationship with other missionaries. Huh? Or you say, surely missionaries would never have a problem with each other, would they? Probably not, but occasionally it might. Okay, it's a joke, okay? It's a joke among missionaries, okay? But the devil would do all that he can to get missionaries fighting with one another. So pray for their relationship with other missionaries. And most of all, pray for their relationship with the people to whom they're going to minister. Or you say, they love those people. They'll never have any problem with them. Probably they will. Pray for the relationship with others. And then particularly pray for their relationship with the national workers. Okay? Those are just some suggestions, okay? Let me mention a simple one, okay? It might not be such a big deal. But pray for them on special occasions. Find out when their birthday is, okay? Christmas time, Thanksgiving. And most of us, we get together with our families and so forth. But I can remember some very lonely times when Christmas and Thanksgiving and the mother's birthday or maybe a funeral that you couldn't go to or something of that nature. Pray for the missionary. Let me state it again. If we send the missionaries to the mission field, and if we do not follow them with our prayer, we're doing them a great disservice. Let me give you another testimony in closing. When we went to Japan, we had very little support, less than $500 a month, okay? And I know what you say, you can't do that, but we did. We didn't know any better. Mission didn't know anything either. We just went. We knew we were supposed to go, so we went. And I don't think I've ever had a four-year period in my life when God did so much in a short time. In other words, we were totally dependent on God every day. And we saw the church, Sandy Newtown Baptist Church, started. We saw the Kansai Independent Baptist College established. I mean, we just saw some great things happen. Then I came home when my mother had cancer and was dying and got here just a few days before she died. And we were here about 8 months, and I did a lot of deputation and raised a lot of support. I really did, you know. So I went back to Japan. I had a lot more support. I had studied the language. I could preach in Japanese and all those things and so forth. We had some workers You know, we had a lot of things our second term that we didn't have during our first term. But I got back to Japan, and all of a sudden, just something wasn't right. And I began to search my own heart. What in the world is wrong? What is wrong? I mean, you know, I've got more support. I can speak Japanese. We've got some Japanese workers. On and on and on. But that you could just know there was some, and you know, if you're working for God, you know when things are not just what they ought to be. And one day I was in my little study, and it was very little. I could barely get in it, okay? There's a little room in the church. And I was praying, and all of a sudden, it became just as clear as anything what was wrong. My best prayer warrior had died. My mother. And I can't tell you, she prayed for me many times every day. And I remember writing a prayer letter, Dr. Pittman. And it's just simply this. I don't need any more support. That's odd for a missionary. I don't have any financial needs. You know, I've got a lot of things going. But I said, when I was home on furlough, my prayer, my greatest prayer was when my mother died. And I wish somebody would step in her place. And I have had more than one person to tell me, Brother Sis, since I read that prayer letter that day, I have never missed a day praying for you. Listen to Jesus. When you pray, as you pray, pray like this. Then listen to Paul. Pray without ceasing. You say, you mean I've got to be down on my knees and my eyes are closed all the time? No, no, no. By the way, if you're praying in your car, don't close your eyes, okay? But you can be in an attitude of prayer all the time. Lord, I belong to you. You are listening to me. We are in great need. And you said, let us come boldly to a throne of grace. So just remember the statement. When you pray. When you pray. Pastor.
Bow our heads tonight. Do you spend time in prayer? Let me just take just a minute. Do you pray for your wife? Do you pray for your husband? Do you pray for your parents? Do we pray for our missionaries? I know this is a missions conference, but prayer is something all of us have the privilege of doing, to talk to the great God of heaven about any need in our heart. And yet we get busy. Life happens. And we don't talk to him. And you have not because you ask not. And there's nothing he can't do. So tonight, could I challenge you to heed the words that Dr. Sisk clearly presented to us. When you pray. Very simple. Could I ask you, when do you pray? Do you spend time in the morning? Spend time in the evening? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Tonight, if the Lord touched your heart, maybe you just come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to talk to you more. That's a good reason. Come and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be in the attitude of prayer consistently. And maybe you're like me, we ought to pray for the missionaries more. By name. Their children. Maybe tonight you ought to pray for your family. Your husband, your wife. You don't pray enough for them. Could I challenge you tonight to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, help me to learn to pray. It's a throne of grace. We don't deserve it, but he'll give us more than we ask for. Lord Jesus, tonight, as you've touched my heart, I plead with you to touch the hearts of our people. Lord, help us to spend much more time with you, because you want our attention, you feel our hurts, and you can do anything. Lord Jesus, speak to us tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen.